Welcome to all the podcast listeners. This is Pastor Jeremy. I just wanted to give a disclaimer that the audio version of the sermon you'll be listening to is fragmented from the original sermon. It encompasses a little over the last half. We had some technical difficulties on Sunday, and so we didn't get the whole sermon recorded, and it was a backup recording, so the quality's not top-notch. So I just wanted to give you a heads up about that, apologize in advance for that. And also, just to set it up for you, we are in Genesis 12, the end of chapter 11, beginning of chapter 12, and we focus in this sermon on the command of, or the call of God to Abraham to go from his country and his kindred and his father's house. And before Abraham was called to go anywhere in particular, he was called to leave somewhere and someone and some things in particular. And so we're looking at the way the call of God sometimes is not just a call to go to, but a call to go from. And I related that to the call of Jesus in the Great Commission. The Great Commission doesn't begin with the call to go into all the nations. It actually begins at the very beginning of the gospel with a call to follow, with Jesus calling James and John, Simon and Andrew, to leave their father's nets, their father's boat, their father's business and household and so forth, and to come and to follow him. And so they did. They left everything and followed him, the Gospels say, in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark. And so we're focusing on that aspect of the calling of God today. What is it that God is not only calling us to go to, but what is it that he may be calling us to go from? And so the title of the sermon, hence the title of the sermon, Leave Before You Go. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you'll be blessed by God's word today.
Says the Lord, God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. You see, Terah was an idolater, and Abraham was following in his father's footsteps. In fact, Terah means moon, okay? And in the Ur of the Chaldeans, where they're from, it's the center of lunar worship. It's the center of moon worship. So Abraham's father's name, his family name, was tied to his father's god, his false god. It was tied to the idolatry that he had spent his whole life under. I mean, he doesn't leave till he's 75 years old. So this is a man set in his ways. This is not just a young whippersnapper. It hurt, you know, his knees hurt for 20 minutes after he wakes up, okay? He is set in his ways, and God is saying, now it's time. And so God was calling him, not just abandon your family. In this vision, from the very beginning, you've heard me talk about God's image really is found in that family unit. He's not saying, abandon this vision, this original vision of a family created in my image. He's saying you're going to have to cut off your bonds and your ties to your family if it's ever going to be the family image that I created in the first place, because his father was an idolater. So God was calling him, I believe, into freedom. Now, some of us need to know, some of us know that we need to be freed from our families, right? I mean, some of us know that our families were jacked up, and some of us are in denial, but all of our families were jacked up, okay? And the fact is, for all of us, we need some level of freedom from the families that we were raised from. This is no disrespect to anybody's family. My kids are going to need freedom from things that they've viewed in me. The fact, though, is for some people, it's hard to know that they need freedom from their upbringing, from their family of origin, and from what they witnessed growing up, precisely because their parents were Christians, precisely because their parents were people of faith. But you need to understand that we are all called to freedom in this sense. None of us need the faith of our fathers, but all of us need the God of our father's faith. You see? None of us need to adopt the religion of our parents, but all of us, so long as our parents are Christian, need the God of our parents' religion. And the fact is, he may need to call us to something different than he called our family to. And if we see our family's faith as the model of our life, their faith can actually become an idol for our life. And he may be calling us to something new, because the world is ever changing. God never changes, but the world changes. And so he may call us to something new. And if we've made an idol of our parents' religion, rather than seeking the God that our parents worshiped, we can make an idol out of the Christian faith. And it happens. It happens. That's why Paul writes to a church and says, examine your faith and make sure that Christ is in you, lest you fail to meet the test, okay? He's writing to Christians. He knows that this religiosity can get the best of everyone. And so the religion of our parents can become more real than the God of our parents' religion, unfortunately. And so God wants to call all of us to make our faith our own and to follow him. Yes, you know, there's a reason I think Jesus goes so far to say, I mean, this is Jesus, meek and mild, okay? Remember what he said? He said, if anyone would come after me and does not hate his father and mother, sister, brother, and yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You see, some people need more than just permission to be freed from their family. They need a stern command. You have to be freed from your family. Mm. You have to be freed from your past. You have to be freed from what you came from, lest you mistake the God of the past as the living God who is calling you today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as the Bible says. So maybe that's what it takes for some people to be convinced that you actually don't have to become the person that your parents expected you to be. Maybe some of you just need to hear that. You don't have to become your father. You don't have to become your mother. Those chains aren't really bearing on you. You are called to become the person God called you to be, and that's it. There are people who will live in the chains of their parents' words and their parents, the life their parents modeled their whole life, because they haven't heard a call to freedom from that. And sometimes it's the best intentions of their own parents. But you need to understand that the living God is calling you to hear his voice and to follow him. And so, last week, I was back in my homeland, back in North Carolina. And I have to say, this passage was hitting me pretty significantly, because I was feeling a little sentimental. I was at my grandma's house, and it's on 15 acres of land, and it's on a lake in the foothills of North Carolina. And that lake and that land is going to be left to me and my brother and sister. Imagine what 15 acres and a lake would cost out here, okay? And I was feeling a little bit of heartache, recognizing that my kids are not going to grow up with this lake in their memory. And they're not going to have all the great memories I had fishing on this lake and playing at the lake. And God, I think, taught me a lesson in the way that sometimes he does, a hard lesson, because one day we're there and we're fishing by the lake, and I look over and because I hear Keswick kind of grunting and struggling, my oldest son, who's 8, And he had stepped out on the side of the lake, and I've got a picture of it, but he was covered to here in mud. And, quickly he's like apologetic. I didn't know I thought the ground was solid, because it's right where a spring comes into the edge of the lake, and it looks like sand. It looks like it's hard enough to walk on. And he said, I thought I could walk on it. And as soon as he said that, my dad told him, he said, you got to be careful. That's quicksand.
Oh, man.
And when he said that, Keswick's, you remember, buddy, his whole demeanor changed, and he got really upset. And after that, he said this like three or four times, and the way he said it just struck me. And he just said, I don't want it to be quicksand. I don't want it to be quicksand. I don't want it to be quicksand. And I think the reason those words stuck with me is because that's how I feel. I don't want it to be quicksand. I don't want the pull, the gravity I feel toward that place to be dangerous. I don't want it to be something that really can keep me from what God's calling me to. I want it to just be love of homeland, love of family, love of my childhood. I want it to be just something I love. But the reality is, there's danger in that love. It's not just a love of a lake. It's a quicksand that can keep me from my calling. Hmm. And actually, this morning, I called home, and I asked Keswick if I could share this story, because I want to make sure to get permission from them if I'm going to talk about it. And Kelly told me something that I didn't know originally. I was trying to process it with him and kind of get a sense of why he was saying that. And then Kelly told me, when I went to wash him off, he told me that the reason he was so upset was because no one was coming to me when I called for them. Mm-hmm. And there I was his father, his grandfather was, we're standing there, we have no idea what's going on, my son's over there in quicksand struggling to get out. And thank God he did. But it was a hard lesson for me to be reminded that there's going to come a day when Dad and Grandpa and no one else is going to be able to get him out of the past that he's struggling to get out of. And what I don't need to do is say, follow my life, follow my example, my expectations for you. What I need to do is constantly point away from myself to the God that I'm trying to follow. To say, salvation doesn't come from me. It's not about me. It's not about my expectations. Listen for his voice, because I'm not always going to be here to help you out of the quicksand. And if you think that it's about my expectations on you, then it will just be a drain on your life. And your life can sink into my expectations or my ideals of the family, or my ideals of home and what it should be like. And some of us just need to be freed from that. You've got this ideal of home, and it's sucking on your life. And you need to be freed to whatever God has called you to. And I was actually, I shared with the staff a little this week that, you know, my kids are not going to have, you know, it's kind of, I was lamenting the fact that my kids are not going to have that same childhood that I had. And they won't grow up in the land flowing with sweet tea and gravy, as I've talked about many times. But I, you know, it occurred to me that I don't need to lament my, you know, ideal of home and saying goodbye to home. What I need to do is to do my best to help lead and cultivate a community where they have a sense of home, where the lake ain't the main attraction, but God is the main attraction.
That's good.
That this would be a kind of community that would point all the children of this community, the whole next generation, to the living God that we're following in such a way that we free them to go, even if it means we have to say goodbye. Because what would it be like if God called all our children to go overseas to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth? I know the pull as a father. I don't want them to leave home. Well, they're still young. I may in like 10 years. But right now, I don't. I want to hold on to them. But see, the calling of God for some to leave means the calling of us to let go also. And it's going to be up to us to be the kind of community that not only can leave ourselves, but be willing to let go of others. And so that leads, to cultivate a kind of home where our children live in the freedom to walk out their calling, even if it means walking away from us. But that leads to the second reason I think God calls Abraham to leave before he goes. It's not just that he's called to freedom from his family, but he is actually calling him to something. More precisely, he's calling him to someone. He's calling him to himself. Go to the land and I'll show you. I'll be there. It doesn't matter which direction you go away, I'll meet you there if you go. He's calling him to himself, you see. You see, this calling of faith in God is similar to what God says about marriage. Man shall what? Leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. You have to leave before you go. Leave before you cleave. And when Kelly and I first got married, I got permission, kind of. But we actually lived in my grandparents' basement suite. Why are you shaking your head, honey? I feel like I should maybe skip this. But we lived in my grandparents' basement suite, and my mother lived upstairs because she was taking care of my grandfather at this time. And now, this doesn't necessarily mean I was not leaving before I was cleaving, okay? This was for economic reasons. We were broke, I was still in college, and nobody else's grandparents offered us a free place to stay. So this made sense, at least for that first year. The problem was, okay, every night my mom cooked dinner. And at the time, I think it's fair to say, Kelly still cooked like a Canadian. Now, hold on. This is a compliment. If you just, we got to go kind of circumnavigate to get to it, okay? It just means that she cooked healthy. I'm going off the notes here for a minute. Just because this illustrates her.
Quicksand.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, listen. So, perfect illustration. Let me tell you about the magic of Southern cooking. You've heard me talk about this before. Sweet tea and gravy. But listen, it's not just the gravy and the sweet tea. It's even the healthy food. But here's the secret to the healthy food. This conversation with my grandma illustrates it perfectly. Okay? And I think it will relate in the end. Now, hold on. Okay, I'm sitting there, and all we had for lunch one day at my grandma's house, this last week, was cabbage and cornbread. Now that sounds dangerously close to, you know, like a Pacific Northwest meal, soup and salad, which is not. But my grandma's cabbage and cornbread, it will fill you up. And we're sitting there eating it, and it's the best, like, it's just the best. I don't know what it is. So I asked her, I said, Grandma, how is your, you know, steamed cabbage so delicious? And she said, well, and I said, just tell me how you make it. Take me step by step. She said, well, you got to make sure you don't overboil it. You make sure you don't make it too tender. I put a few red pepper flakes in there. I'm like, but we do all these things. It still doesn't taste like this. She said, oh, well, I start by melting about a pound of fat back in the bottom of the pan. Okay. So what's the secret to Southern cooking? That steamed cabbage, okay? The healthy, you know, steamed cabbage is steamed in pig fat. That's how you make steamed cabbage good. How do you make healthy good food good in the South? You make it unhealthy. So, all that to say, That's the secret of Southern cooking. So when we first got married, I didn't realize that my wife wanted to save my arteries, okay? And I will say, my wife's an amazing cook now. Is that fair? You used to not be, but now you're amazing. She really is amazing. Quick sense. We'll process this later. Okay. So when I first got married, I'd come home, but here's the issue. I'd come home, you know, I'd smell the pig fat upstairs, and Kelly would, if she's home, "Hey, honey," and then I'd yell upstairs, "Hey, Mom, what's for dinner?" And I'd run upstairs, until one day, Kelly confronted me, and as I'm running upstairs, she yells, "Hope you enjoy your meal. Tell your wife I said hi."
Oh.
No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. She's not like me. She wouldn't say something like that. But she did call me out that, frankly, it was, in no uncertain terms, it's hard for the two to become one flesh when you're bringing your mother-in-law into the family every night, okay? When you're not leaving,
yeah.
Okay, before you're cleaving. And you see, God is calling, okay, God is calling Abram to leave from his family, from his country, from his father's household, from his father's idols. Why? Because God wants Abraham. He wants him. God wants you.
Amen.
God's calling you to himself. Before the land, before anything, before the land of promise, you're called to the God who makes the promise.
Mm.
And sometimes you've got to let go of all those things you've been, all that comfort food, okay? All that in your comfort zone of all those false dependencies and those false hopes that you cling to. And God is saying, cleave to me. I'm calling you out of that because I want you. I'm calling you to myself. So go to the land and I'll show you. I'll show you. But right now you just got to go. You got to go away from all those things you're depending on. And that's what faith is all about. And we will talk more about the nature of this promise of blessing and the nature of faith next week. But I was just sharing with Eric this morning, just before I came up here, that, you know, it's hard to know how, this was a hard sermon for me to think, how does this apply to you? You being so many different people, because each of us have such a varied relationship with our past, varied relationship with our family of origin, with our homeland, our, you know, where we come from. We've had various models of faith growing up. So I don't know how to really hit this home for each of you. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit will do that anyway. But this is what I know. The living God is calling you to himself in Jesus Christ. I know that. I know that for each of you. And in Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, God's word says. And that means your past. Okay, if you know Jesus, this is already true. If you don't know Jesus, this is the invitation. But your past is not a life sentence. It's a life lesson. Okay? You can learn from your past, but you're not determined by your past.
Oh, that's good.
You're not bound to it. You don't have to be the person you always thought you had to be, or the person you still think you have to be. You are called to be the person God calls you to be, whoever that is. So you're not bound to your past. Your past is not a life sentence, it's a life lesson. You've been called out of bondage into freedom, out of fear into faith. You've been called to Jesus. You've been called to Jesus. And that's the meaning of the Lord's Supper, which is what we're going to celebrate now. Every time that you come to this table, you're being reminded that God has called you away from a life of sin. And you can walk away from a life of sin because by the blood of Christ, he has broken all of the chains that come out of that life. And he calls you to this table as a remembrance that you have been set free from the past. And just as God has buried your sins in baptism and buried your sins in the blood of Christ, that we remember when we receive the body and the blood and remembrance through this table, he calls you into a new life by the resurrection of Christ that we get as a down payment by the Holy Spirit that he sends to us. So as we come to the table this morning, remember, your past is not a life sentence. It's a life lesson. And let the lesson be the thing that leads you again, ever and again, to seek hope in your living hope, your only hope, away from those false hopes. Hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body." Oh man. "Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." So Lord of the church, we come to you this morning broken so that you can make us whole. We come to the table this morning empty so that you can make us full. I pray, Father, that you would give all of us freedom from our past that we need so that we can walk into a new day, a new hope, a new possibility from the God who makes all things new in Jesus. And we'll give you thanks. Amen. So please rise. And I want to let you know, if you need gluten-free elements, they'll be offered over here at this table. And for everyone else, come. The table is open. Thank you.